Only Girl, and this is Chester's D Radio. Friday morning, the 27th of March. I'm Gavin Matthews, and it's time to welcome onto the programme now the medical director at the Countess of Chester Hospital. That is Dr. Darren Kilroy. Good morning, Dr. Kilroy.
Good morning, Gavin. It's great to speak to you. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. Thank you very much. And before I start, thank you to you and everybody at the Countess of Chester Hospital and the NHS more widely for everything you're doing. These really are, you know, unprecedented times. How is the Countess coping?
They really are, Governor. You're absolutely right. These are uncharted waters for us. I'd like to start by just giving people, if I may, take every opportunity to give that this simple message, to remind everyone listening how vital it is that we adopt and adhere to the stay-at-home policy. So we're staying at home wherever possible, washing our hands for at least 20 seconds often, avoiding touching our faces, and also maintaining that crucial social distancing of at least 2 meters. I wouldn't waste any opportunity to reinforce that message to all of us. It's so vitally important to protect all that we're doing and trying to do to keep us all safe. And with that, I'd also quickly like, Gavin, before I get on to the question around the Countess, to really express my thanks to so many people in the community. Not only for observing those measures, but also for all the offers of help and support we've had here at the hospital, from pizzas to volunteering to coming out of retirement to what can we do to help. It's been absolutely phenomenal. And we're working through, I just want to say to those who have approached the hospital, we're working through all those offers as fast as we can. But we've got quite a lot to get through. So please bear with us if you have contacted us.
That's a great problem to have, isn't it?
It's a great problem to have. And in relation to where we're at going at the hospital here, obviously, in my role as the medical director here, my primary responsibility is to make sure that the care we're giving to the community here is safe. And I want to reassure everyone that the care being given here is absolutely safe. And we are well prepared with all the challenges facing us. Our staff are working phenomenally hard to ensure that if you come to the hospital and you're unwell, you will receive safe and effective high quality care. It's a very important message.
We're hearing a lot on the media that hospitals are short of equipment, short of tests, they're short of protective equipment even for their staff. I mean, how does that pan out in the context of the Countess?
It's a real worry and concern, and obviously that is a big topic in the national press, as we all know. And again, just to reassure the public that we have all the kit that we require here at the hospital. We have all the relevant protective equipment for all our staff. Key to providing safe care is to make sure that the workforce are well protected, and that's another one of my key priorities, that we have enough equipment and enough protective equipment on the site here to provide for our staff to be protected and to protect patients. That's a really clear and important message to give out there. Clearly, there are challenges nationally around procurement and distribution of supplies. You know, these are unprecedented times. But as we speak and looking ahead to the near and medium term, we have all the equipment that we need in terms of protecting staff, Gavin, to make sure that everyone's care is safe.
Well, that's fantastic to know. You mentioned people who may have to come into the Countess for treatment because of coronavirus. At what point would somebody be admitted to hospital rather than being sort of kept at home?
Yeah, it's a really important point, and I'm aware that this causes confusion for so many people because, again, things are changing very quickly here. What I would say is this, if I may, to just contextualise what people should be doing. The first and most important message, again, is to stay at home and stay away from places you don't need to be. And then if you feel that you are developing those classic symptoms of coronavirus that have been well publicised regarding a persistent dry cough, and a high temperature, the most important thing you can do is to access NHS 111 services. And if I may, just to remind people, you access that at 111.nhs.uk. That's the online resource to go to. So I would urge people to start with, please don't attend the hospital without seeking that online help first, because the online service will guide you to the relevant healthcare options. If you do have to come to the hospital because you're profoundly unwell or the NHS 111 service guides you there, then when you get here, you'll be assessed in a very structured manner with staff who have got a very clear protocol of what to do. And the staff will be protected from you. So you may see staff wearing masks and gowns, and that might seem quite peculiar, but that's just what the national guidance requires us to do to protect you as a patient, to protect us as workers. And you will then be assessed in the normal manner. And if your symptoms are severe enough from COVID that we suspect that's what you've got and you need to be admitted into hospital, then you will be. If it's the case that probably on balance it isn't a COVID infection, then again, you'll receive the standard care you might have received otherwise. So if you're becoming unwell, then you will receive just the same care options as you would otherwise do. But if it's suspected that we think you have got the virus, then you might be cared for in a different part of the hospital. The people who care for you will wear different protective equipment. But it's really important to remember that the care you receive will be just the same as it would have been in any other situation. So that's a really important message that, you know, things will look different, but the care you get will be fundamentally the same.
Right. And for people that do need to be admitted, you have enough beds to admit everybody thus far?
We absolutely do. We've had an unprecedented collaborative effort across the across Chester and the wider community to make sure that we have safely discharged as many patients as we can, to release as many beds as we can, to give us as much capacity as we can to manage what we know is an influx of patients. And of course, it's difficult to predict when those influxes will occur, and we're basing that on national and international trends, locally as well as regionally and nationally. So at the moment, we have more than adequate capacity to manage incoming patients, and we're planning day on day, hour by hour, literally, to make sure we dynamically manage that capacity so we have as many spaces available in the right places at the right time as we can.
And for intensive care unit, again, the same story, you have sufficient capacity?
Yeah, intensive care obviously is a big pressure point nationally, and everyone who's in any way paying any attention to the press will know that from other countries, from Italy and Spain, there is an intense pressure on intensive care beds. And we work within an intensive care network in the Northwest so that patients will be safely transferred around networks should the pressure points arise, so that people move to an intensive care bed wherever it's available. We are not at that point and nowhere near that point yet, Gavin. It's a really important point to mention. Our intensive care teams here working phenomenally hard are adequately able to cope with the work that we've got on our trust site at the moment. And we're expanding our intensive care capacity, bringing in additional machinery and additional kit to widen our intensive care unit and to give it a bigger footprint, so that when we do have bigger numbers of patients, we're still well placed to cope.
And are you operating on a model that assumes that the upward trajectory of cases is going to continue for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, in these situations, your best assurance of being able to cope is to closely follow the modelling that is published nationally. And of course, we pay close attention to, one has to remember that we receive guidance from Public Health England as a hospital on an almost hourly basis, informing us of the latest trends of patient demand and where patients are presenting across the systems. And so we follow that extremely closely. So we are working on the basis, as are all other acute hospitals in the Northwest, that this is the way that things will play out. And so we're basing all our modelling and all our staffing and our kit provision around that trajectory, yeah.
And the opportunity for the Countess to continue to cope as you are relies so much on people observing the rules that you mentioned, that we've heard 1,000 times. You know, don't go out unless you absolutely have to. There's only certain allowances for us to leave our house. And when you do, observe the 2-metre rule. That's to flatten the curve, isn't it? So the upward rise isn't as steep as it otherwise would be.
It absolutely is. I mean, the whole point of the principles that you just so well described there, Gavin, is to make sure that we are taking every possible step we can. Look, this is a social responsibility we all have to each other, whatever our roles, whatever our jobs. This is to minimise spread between households, between friends, between people who would otherwise normally congregate, so that we flatten off the curve and we reduce the rate of spread of infection, so that the NHS is able to cope with what we know will come and face us, and to flatten the curve off as best we can. And that is why those measures are so very important, so that we're all as best placed as we can to cope in healthcare.
Another topic that's doing the rounds in national media, especially at the moment, is the subject of testing kits. Are there enough? When are new ones going to become available? And also, you know, how much help will they be to the hospital going forward?
Well, one of the key elements of testing, of course, for any NHS provider at the moment, is the fact that quite a lot of staff are self-isolating or have family members that cause them to need to self-isolate. So a key function of us to be able to get testing online as quickly as we can, guided nationally in terms of distribution, is that so we can work hard to get staff back to work, back in the healthcare system, as quickly but safely as we can. And testing is a key element of that for us. So we are anticipating testing in the next few weeks. We obviously are guided by the centre on when that testing will be available, but we are really keen to get that testing into the trust and use it to the best advantage that we can. And of course, in the wider public health agenda, testing will become more important so we can actually track whether disease is in our society, and that will help us to plan down the line for further spikes and further bumps in the road and how we'll be able to cope with that. So testing is a subject of great concern to us. It's going to be of great benefit to the wider health economy, but we are where we are right now, and we wait for the developments as quickly as anyone else.
Yeah, and you say, I mean, you use the phrase in the next few weeks. That sounds a long time in the current circumstances.
It does sound a long time. Anyone who is paying attention to the daily press briefings from the Prime Minister and the Chief Medical Officer and Chief Scientific Officer will know that a huge army of people are working as quickly as they can to bring the testing online as quickly as is possible. Because, of course, we've got to remember that it's a balance between getting testing into the system at pace, but also making sure that whatever testing we do bring in is absolutely as accurate as it can be. Otherwise, you know, as was made the point a couple of days ago on the TV, poor testing is worse than no testing. So we need to make sure we've got a really valid, useful test before we start implementing that at scale. And that obviously is a huge challenge because we're looking for testing on an unprecedented scale for this problem, Gavin, and that clearly is going to take us a little time to enact.
Well, nobody has ever seen the like of this, what we're going through before, and, you know, the speed to which the NHS has responded has been absolutely incredible.
It really is. It's an absolutely phenomenal thing to see how well people have responded. I wanted, if I may, Gavin, to hijack the agenda slightly, because can I just take the opportunity, please, to mention to anybody listening that we have a recruitment hotline at the moment here at the hospital. We're wanting to reach out to anyone who may have skills that we could use at the hospital, be they nurses, doctors, administrative staff, anyone who feels they could offer something. We have a hotline recruitment number here at the moment in the hospital, which is 01244, people outside Chester, 366125, that's 01244, 366125, or an email that people can also use is really easy to remember. It's teamcountess, all one word, teamcountess.vacancies@nhs.net. We would love to hear from you.
Right, I've just noted that down. We'll repeat those in a few minutes' time to give people a chance to grab a pen and paper.
Fantastic.
if needs be. And of course, dealing with this issue has meant that there have had to be sort of changes to some of your other more regular processes. For example, outpatients and non-essential operations obviously have been put on the back burner, and there's been some changes to maternity services, I'm reading on your website, and changes to visiting as well.
Yeah, it's a really challenging time for those other services that do normally carry on in the routine way in any hospital. And of course, for that, we just ask people's understanding and support and patience. We are having, obviously, to make difficult choices at the moment, and those choices relate primarily to the need for us to stand down many aspects of planned, what we call elective treatments for surgery, and planned elective clinics where people would come to the outpatient services for a planned visit or booked visit. We're having to stand those down. And also any other aspect of normal healthcare where things can safely wait a little longer while we focus and treat these really pressing problems regarding the COVID-19 challenge. It's really important to remember that we understand how difficult that is. And we're doing all we can to work to care for all the patients who would normally come and see us but can't just at this moment. And that's a challenge that all hospitals are facing, and we're obviously guided by national requirements around what we can and can't provide at the moment, but it is a difficult time, and I do understand people's anxieties when they receive notification that we might have to just see them in a little while when they might have expected to come sooner.
I think we all absolutely appreciate that and the reasons for it. In terms of, just one final question, in terms of people visiting their family and loved ones, friends who may have contracted COVID-19, what safeguards are in place? Are people allowed to come in?
We really don't. This is one of those things that I think really causes people difficulties in as much as whenever we have a loved one who's in hospital, We all naturally, of course, want to be there for them and to stay with them and be by their side. But it is really important at the moment that we cannot have visitors in the hospital. That's to protect patients, it's to protect staff, and it's also to protect the visitors themselves. So I would urge people to remember that we cannot at the moment permit people to visit the hospital. I know that's an extremely difficult message and it causes people a huge amount of distress, but it is actually one of those important parts of ensuring that we all protect each other and that we don't put ourselves at unnecessary risk. So I ask for people's understanding around that difficult message, Gavin.
Well, look, you guys all know what you're doing and we are in your more than capable hands and we all thank you very much for it and for all the work that you're all doing at the Countess of Chester and, of course, in the more wide NHS across the Northwest and the whole country.
Thank you so much, Gavin.
Thank you for talking to us and thank you for that very useful information and keep safe to all of you.
Thanks, Gavin. Take care. Thank you.
And you. That was Dr. Darren Kilroy, who's the medical director at the Countess of Chester Hospital. Traffic and